If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So I do continue our sermon series on forgiveness, starting last Sunday with talking about forgiveness we receive from God. And I'm continuing this Sunday to speak about the forgiveness we receive from God. It is so important to realize that we receive this great and awesome gift of forgiveness from God. And when we realize that and truly acknowledge it and understand how important it is in our lives, then we can also think about forgiving ourselves, forgiving friends, and both giving and receiving of forgiveness. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak your truth, that we hear your word and how it speaks to us. And I ask, Lord, that our reflections of your word and your message and your call for us be acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So this morning, we continue to look at forgiveness, and specifically forgiveness from God. But I also want us to think about the different types of forgiveness. As I said last Sunday, forgiveness is a Christian biblical foundation, a great part of our belief in what we receive from God. Thinking about forgiveness from God, forgiveness from others, and forgiveness even for ourselves. Of those three, how would you rate them? Which would be the hardest to do? To get or to ask God for forgiveness, to ask forgiveness from ourselves, or to ask forgiveness from a friend or someone who has wronged us? Or what would be the hardest to give out, to give forgiveness to someone who has wronged us, or even to forgive our own selves when we know we have done wrong? Of those three, which would be the most difficult or the most hardest to accomplish and to do? Of the three, I would say that the only true answer would be forgiveness from God. It should be the most difficult thing you do or have to do in your life. Because of these three, the others you return back. If someone asks you for forgiveness, you can give forgiveness back to them. If you know you've done wrong and you say to yourself, I need to be less hard on myself, I need to forgive myself, you can do that. But it is only from God we receive forgiveness. We never give forgiveness back to God. It is not something that we ever need to give God. God is so right. God is so powerful. God never does wrong. So we never need to give God forgiveness, but we also always need to ask God for forgiveness. And of these three, we can never hide our sins and our wrongs from God. We can deny our own personal selves when we know we've done wrong or make excuses for ourselves. We can wrong a friend and deny seeing that friend or ghost ourselves from that friend or justify why we've not done wrong to that friend. We can hide our wrongdoings, our sins against friends and each other and ourselves. But we can never hide from God because God always knows when we have done wrong. He knows what is always in our hearts and minds. So when you think about that, then you can see why forgiveness from God is the hardest, but yet most wonderful of forgivenesses. We need to think about our sins and when we have wronged against God. And in this book from John, 1 John, the Apostle John is talking to the people on how they have done wrong. They say that John the Apostle, he was writing to the churches that he had been a leader of, about seven different churches, and he was seeing all these churches and the wrongdoings that they were having and the struggles that they were going to. He saw many of the church members who were discouraged and doubting their faith, who were being persuaded by wrong faith leaders or false prophets, who were just living day lives with one foot in Jewish traditions and living the other foot in the Christian traditions that they were called to as followers of Christ, the struggles that they faced. And John wanted to help his church members, to tell them that there is the right way and the wrong way. First John is such a simple and beautiful book. It's very simple. It's a series of contrasts, what is right and what is wrong. There is light and there is darkness. There is the Christ and there is the Antichrist. There is goodness and justification. There is righteousness and unrighteousness. And John, in his writings to the people, are telling the people, simply right or wrong, let me spell it out for you. So in this morning's passage, he talks about what is wrong and what is right. And throughout the book of John, especially in chapter 1, we see John often use the term, if we say, or if we claim, or if we. He is telling the people the if word and also the we word. The if saying, this is something you might have done or are contemplating doing, but there's always an if, there is a way out. So think about that when you have your actions or do your actions. But he also is always using the word we, and I encourage you to read 1 John, especially that first chapter, and to see the many times that John says, if we say, or if we claim, if we. It's so important to look at when he says that, because he is pointing out the we part also, that it is not just one person, but a collection of people, to let the people know that they are not alone in their wrongdoing, to let them know they are not alone in their doubts, to let them know they are not alone in following the false prophets or leaders of the church. He is reminding them it is we, a whole, together. So if we claim, or if we say. And when he does that, he is then pointing out a right and a wrong. If we claim to be without sin, or if we say that we have no sin, that is the wrong. But if we claim or say that this is our wrongness, then that is the right. And looking at this morning's passage, we see John first saying to the church in John 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. To say we have no sin is refusing to admit you have done wrong. And John is saying that this itself is wrong. Do not deceive yourself. Do not delude yourself. Do not let yourself be led astray. The Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is full of times when people have sinned. But the result of ways they could get out of the sin or be pardoned for their sin always dealt with what they say was inanimate objects. If you sinned, you would then use an inanimate object such as gold or going to an altar, an inanimate place, to be forgiven for your sins. You would claim, yes, I did wrong, and this is why I did wrong, but here, God, is what I offer you for the pardon of my sin. You are offering gold. You are offering a sacrifice lamb. You are going to the temple. You are going to the priest who can guide you to the right place. You are laying yourself before the altar. All these inanimate things. But what we learn from Jesus Christ is that when we sin and profess our sins, it is not dealing with an inanimate object, an altar or gold or money that we can pay to get a pardon of our sins, but it is dealing with human life, with interactions, with who we choose to love, with how we choose to act, how we ask God about our own relationship. It's not an inanimate thing, but an animate thing about our relationship with God, with people, and ourselves, and the actions we take. So we need to learn from John that we cannot say we have no sin, because when we do, we are deceiving ourselves, and then the truth does not live in us. We are animate people. We are living and breathing people. We are God's creation. And we want to realize that when we deny having sin or refuse to admit that we have sin, then we are deceiving ourselves. And more importantly, we are deceiving God. Because God wants us not to sin. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. God wants us to be in covenant with Him. They say that the first step to salvation is admitting your sin, to be obedient to God's law. Because we say we have the greatest obligation is to follow God's laws and rules that He laid down for us, to be in covenant with God and community. That is what we want to do when we want salvation, to be in covenant, in relationship with God and community. So when we sin against God, then we are breaking covenant with God. When we sin against another person, then we are breaking covenant with community. We are hurting our relationships with God and community. So when you think about, well, what are these sins that I do? In basic terms, we first look to the Old Testament with the Ten Commandments that were given to us. There are many, many actual commandments in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament. Hundreds, they say, but they boil down to the ten that we find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 17. The Ten Commandments being, first, you shall have no other gods before God. You shall not make false idols is the second one. The third one is, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And the fourth one is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. These are how we honor and praise God, by having no other God before him, by not worshiping false idols, by not taking his name in vain, and by keeping the Sabbath, the day he gave, as a holy day. We also remember the other commandments: to honor father and mother, to not commit murder, to not commit adultery, to not steal, not lie, and not covet. These are commandments that we follow as well, about how we treat each other and how we are in community with each other. So the first four of the commandments is the idea of covenant with God, to not break those sins and fall away from God. And the next six of the Ten Commandments are covenant with community, how to be in relationship with each other. And then Jesus came and he did this most amazing and wonderful thing, and I've talked about this before in other sermons. He then gave us the greatest commandment, sort of taking those Ten Commandments and putting it into two simple commandments. The first and greatest commandment from Matthew 22, verse 37, is to remind us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. And the second is to love neighbor as ourselves. Because when you love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, then you would never put another God before him. Then you would never worship a false idol. Then you would never take his name in vain. And you would always honor and worship on the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And when you follow the second commandment we receive from Christ, to love neighbor as ourselves, then you know you would always honor your father and mother. You would never commit murder, adultery, or steal, or want to covet something else another person has, or lie to them. You would love them as you love yourself. So when we think about our sins, we know, and we must not deceive ourselves, that we have done some of these wrongs. And that is the first steps toward salvation. And John is telling the people that if we say that we have no sin and we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, that is a wrongdoing that John is pointing out. But he does this great thing then in verse 9. He points out what we can do to be right. In verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and will forgive us and purify us from all righteousness. We must understand what it means to then truly confess our sins, and I want to think about then atonement as a way to think about confessing our sins. They say atonement is the idea of reparation for an offense, to make whole again something you have done wrong. In our legal system, we have all these rules and regulations that, you know, if you break a law, you can look up what the punishment would be, and then you can atone so easily. If you speed, you would get a speeding ticket, and you have to pay the fine. If you steal from someone and you get caught, you would have to, of course, return that or serve jail time. We have all these certain sets of laws and punishments that are in place. But when we think about atonement to God, it's a different thing. We are not governed by the government or a set of leaders or people. We are instead governed by God. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations in the last chapters, there is atonement. There is a ways that we seek God's forgiveness and how God gives us forgiveness back. And the most amazing thing is through Jesus Christ, we receive the greatest atonement, because Christ reconciles us to God and gives us God's forgiveness. So instead of it being inanimate objects, an altar, a lamb, or gold that we pay back for atonement, it instead becomes our actions, our faithfulness, our thoughts, our ways of being as a Christian that we offer as atonement to God. And in John's book to the people, he's saying to first confess your sin, to then know that God will hear us, and he is faithful, and he will forgive us and purify us from all our unrighteousness. Now, giving up and saying when we have done wrong might sound easy, but it's not always so easy. There is a funny story about a little girl who stole her brother's Halloween candy. And when she finally confessed that she stole the candy because she had such an upset stomach and her mom saw all the empty candy wrappers under her bed, the girl said, "I did wrong. I am so sorry." And the mom said, "Okay, then what you have to do now is give your candy to your brother and to myself." So the girl said, "Okay, I said I'm sorry, and my punishment is to give candy to my brother and to my parents." And then later throughout the rest of the year and into the next year, the mom would sometimes find candy on her desk that her daughter was giving to her. And she would take the candy and think, "How wonderful, my daughter is just sharing her candy. She's being a sweet girl." But then finally at the end of the school year in June, the daughter's teacher said, "What happened? I sent different notes to you every time your daughter did something wrong. She didn't complete homework. She yelled at a person sitting next to her in desk. She stayed longer on the playground when she was supposed to come inside. But I never received a response from you." And the mother said, "Well, I never got these notes." And the mother then, of course, looked through her daughter's backpack and saw on the very bottom hidden all these notes from the teacher. So when the mother asked the daughter, "Why didn't you tell me these times you've done wrong or give me the notes from your teacher?" The daughter said, "I did, Mom, every time I left a piece of candy on your desk. Because remember, you told me I had to give candy to, you know, to say forgiveness." So in the daughter's mind, there was an equal, "I did wrong, and this is what I do, and this is what I give." But when we have a relationship with God, we need to think deeper than that. We need to think about our sins, to truly be repentful, and to truly seek atonement. But here is the most wonderful thing that we know when we want to seek atonement from God, that God says atonement is available for you no matter how low you've fallen, no matter how bad you've done, no matter what you've done or feel if you need to hide from me. Atonement is given and available for you because of my Son, Jesus Christ. They say that Jesus was the atonement for all people. He was the ransom that God gave for the people for our sins. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, there's a great passage that says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So when you think about seeking forgiveness from God, how easy is it then to say, "Yes, I can admit when I've done wrong to God, when I've broken one of the commandments or the greatest commandment and have not loved God with heart, mind, and soul, when I've been harmful to another person," to say to God, "I am confessing my sins," and to know that God has made the promise to us to be faithful and to forgive us because of his gift, Jesus Christ, who was that ransom, the price paid for our sins. But Jesus, we know, was a living human being. God took the form of human being to be amongst the people, an animate person, not an inanimate object of gold or an altar place to go to or money that could be given or a lamb that could be sacrificed, but an animate thing, a living and breathing thing that offered his life for our sins. So then we need to think about then claiming that we live in Jesus, that Jesus lives in us, that his word is in us. Because John closes his message in this verse from this morning to the people saying, "If we say that we have not sinned and we make him out to be a liar, then we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." We must always claim when we have done wrong to say to God, "God, forgive me. I have done this wrong." We must know that God will hear our pleas for forgiveness and answer us, to give us forgiveness and love. He actually already gave us his forgiveness and love even before we have done wrong, because he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. If we don't accept that or realize that, then we are rejecting God. Then no matter what we do, how many Bible studies we attend, how many worship services we attend, if we don't say to God, "I have done wrong and forgive me, I have sinned," then we are rejecting God. We want to always receive God, to not reject his salvation that he offers from us. So I also wrote in the back of the worship bulletin some questions for you to think about this week or talk about with friends or church members or even in Sunday school. And the English ministry has requested, COM has requested, we have more of these questions that you can ask each other throughout the week or talk about in Sunday after worship. To think about times that you have received atonement from God, to know when you have done wrong and said to God, "I have done this so wrong, and I ask you, Lord, for forgiveness." And you may not have realized it then, but you might hopefully realize it now. God has given you forgiveness and given you a way to atone, to help another person to become more faithful or to become a better person. And to also think about times that you want to be closer to God and to lift up your sins to God and to think about those three questions printed on the back of your worship bulletin. Because we must remember that God has given us forgiveness, the ransom of his Son Jesus Christ on the cross, so that we may receive forgiveness of our sins. And to do as John was telling the people, how simple it is to not do wrong, to not admit you have sinned, but to do right, to commit, to claim your sins, and to know that God will forgive and be faithful to you, just as you are faithful to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we hear the word through the Apostle John in his message, the reminder of right and wrong, we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts so that we may always say when we have done wrong, when we have sinned against you. Because when we are able to say out loud these sins and be in prayer with you, Lord, then we are continuing to have your word in us, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. And we ask that you continue to use us as your servants to share about this great gospel, to receive your love and forgiveness, and to be able to be faithful to you. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.